Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ah, there it is. There's the music. Tonight, Monday Night Football, the Eagles and the Falcons at Lincoln Financial Field. And on the pregame show with us tonight, a legend, an Eagles legend, Nick Foles, will join us in the 7 o'clock hour at the Link. And right now, Hugh, to talk about this game, we bring on a Falcons legend, a guy you know, the original Dirty Bird.
The original Dirty Bird.
Jamal Anderson joining us here in the midday show to talk some Eagles Falcons. Jamal, how you doing, man?
Kenfolk, what's going on?
What's up, family? It's great to speak to you guys. I'm excited about tonight's game. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun.
No, no question about that. How do you see this game playing out? We know last week that Kirk Cousins was under duress. T.J. Watt got after him quite a bit. How do you see this game playing out tonight?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because it's not like, you know, they didn't play in the preseason at all. You know, everybody's got their own philosophies about that, and you gotta get out there and get some game action in order to be up to speed. And I feel like that maybe caught them off guard a little bit. I know they turned up to the intensity and everything, but obviously, you know, I like everybody else was watching Hard Knocks in the off season, and that was like, I couldn't believe the Giants were making a decision to move on from Saquon Barkley. And as soon as you guys signed him, I'm like, this man finally has an offensive line. Like, he's, I think, one of the finest talents at that position. And, you know, obviously what he did last week. And so he's a guy that I'm like, you know, you got to be concerned about. I know AJ's down. I don't think Dotson is any joke. And I love Devontae Smith's game. I think he's constantly proved, despite his size, that he can ball. So, I mean, and obviously Jalen. I'm a big fan of Jalen. It's, like, hard to root against that guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's – last year, what happened to you guys, I literally was like, they're going to write a book about this, because I couldn't really believe what I was watching. And it was just wild to see how it started and then the way it ended. But, I mean, obviously a very talented football team. It's always been a tough place. You know it's been a tough place for us to play, Q.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know?
So, I mean, it's like you got to bring your A game, you know, and that's just the bottom line.
Jamal, you mentioned Saquon. Obviously, in Atlanta, they have Bijan Robinson, a guy who had a big first game of the season and expected it to have a big season. And you're a guy, Jamal, back in the day, I know it was a different time, but you got the football a lot. I think back to that 98 season, you were a workhorse. Do you think these guys can handle it and it's just the league has changed? Because I'm watching the first 2 weeks here, Jamal. You know, Josh Jacobs has almost 50 carries already. Jordan Mason almost 50 carries. Saquon got the ball 26 times last week. Do you think these star backs can handle a lot of work if their teams let them get the ball?
Yeah, I actually do. And I feel like, obviously, he's had some injuries, which have derailed the type of talent he is to be consistent out there. But again, playing in that situation in New York, it was a whole different setup. I just feel like the top backs in this league, they do everything. Not only are we picking up blitzes, we're going out for, we're catching the ball at a prolific level. I mean, now McCaffrey's hurt. But if you look at those guys like that, and you look at Alvin Kamara, you look at the Saquon Barkleys, not only are we're asked to produce on the ground, we are big-time factors in the air. So this is what's mystifying me about this whole we can't pay the top-flight running backs, because I'm like, these guys are doing it, not just on the ground, but they're doing it in the air as well. And it's just an expectation of almost every offense we're in if you're going to be a top-flight back.
Jamal Anderson joining us here on the Midday Show, former Falcon running back as we preview Monday Night Football. All right, Jamal, you mentioned Jalen Hurts a few minutes ago. What do you think of Jalen at this stage of his career? It's been interesting to watch his development because he developed from a second-round pick into a starter and then became a near MVP. But the last year plus, more turnovers, he hasn't been quite as excellent. What do you think about Jalen and where he is right now in his development?
I feel like he's one of those guys that is going to work tremendously hard and do more than what he's supposed to do to ensure that he fixes what's going on. Because, like I said, last year, it was just a trip to see how it went. And then, obviously, the playoff game against Tampa Bay, I was like, whoa. It was like a completely different team. And I felt like maybe, when you start so excellently and then that collapse happens like that, I think that had a tremendous effect generally on the confidence of the whole squad because they just didn't appear like the same team. I mean, this football team has had a certain swagger. They played a certain way. They come out with a certain energy. And none of that was evident in those last couple of games last season.
You know, I'm kind of curious, Jamal, like with Kirk Cousins having the injury that he has coming off that Achilles, if he struggles at all tonight, do you think there's any chance that we might see Michael Penix?
I don't know, man. I don't think that they're going to get away from him unless he just has I did feel like he'd have to have multiple picks and just not look like he can move around the pocket. We're being told that he's 100% healthy. Everybody has an opinion about that. He seems to feel like he is as well. And so my expectation is that they would be more productive. Pitts is going home. Hopefully that inspires him to do extra. And obviously having to get Bijan in some spaces, especially against the D-line. Come on, this has been one of the best defenses in football for the last several years. And so, we need everybody bringing their A game, especially on a Monday Night Football. And it's been a minute since the team has been featured in this way.
Jamal, how good is Bijan Robinson? And we had a lot of discussion here in Philadelphia before last season, before the draft. Yeah. A lot of our fans, including our producer, Jamal, really wanted the Eagles to draft Bijan. We ended up with Jalen Carter. Falcons got Bijan. Right. How good is he, and how much do you think he'll be a big part of the game plan tonight for them?
It's funny because I would say a lot of people in Atlanta were enamored with Jalen. Obviously, UGA is down the road. We've watched this factory produce a bunch of football players, and so everybody had an opinion about it. He's a very talented guy. Hopefully, the packages are there for him. And when you get somebody like that in open field, he's just so explosive, and he's so strong, and he runs with great pad level. Him and Saquon's game are quite similar. Now, Saquon is a bigger dude, and I feel like, man, when you look at explosiveness, particularly when he's 100, when he's healthy, my man was rolling last week. It's like the way he hits the hole at his size, you just don't see stuff like that. Like Derrick Henry is a freak of nature, okay? And the way he could pull away from people, and you got Saquon Barkley. And Saquon is my size. Dude's like 230, like 6'1". He's not a little guy, and he's just very explosive and a dangerous guy. And somebody we're going to have to keep monitoring, and he's going to be a tremendous asset, as you've already seen, to Jalen Hurts. And I think all those things combined, I don't want Hurts to destroy us tonight. Don't get it twisted. I'm not like pulling for him, but I just know how dangerous they can be when the things start clicking with the type of players that are there. Obviously, AJ's out tonight, but there are still other talented players on that offense.
Jamal Anderson joining us here as we preview Monday Night Football, the Eagles and the Falcons tonight. Jamal, what did you notice with Kirk Cousins week one? Because it looked to us like he couldn't move. I mean, Hugh asked you about Penix, but do you think Cousins is healthy? I mean, that's a big injury he's coming back from last year.
No, it is a big injury he's coming back from. He really looked fine in training camp and stuff. And I'm going to have to take it on what Kurt is saying and what the staff is saying and that they have the confidence that he can do what he needs to do, and that he is healthy. Obviously, Penix got very, very little playing time in the preseason. It might be something else, when you're talking about just dropping a rookie in on Monday Night Football. But, I mean, again, this is not something that I think is in the plans, but anything's possible. And I know The big thing is, you know, the Saints are 2-0 now. Buccaneers are 2-0 now. I mean, we're looking at week two talking about, you know, you don't want to be in a they certainly don't want to be looking up from a two-game hole, you know?
They do not. It's going to be a fun one tonight. Jamal, before we let you go, and we appreciate your time, we're going to play a highlight for you here, Jamal. I'm curious if you remember this play. October 1st, 2000, Falcons at Eagles, and our guy Hugh Douglas did this against your team.
Here comes the blitz. Chandler, it's picked off. Right in the hands of Hugh Douglas, who dropped back from his defensive end spot in a zone blitz.
Didn't I just talk about Hugh Douglas? Did I say that he's relentless?
You're visionary.
As a pass rusher he is, but how about now as a defender? Hugh Douglas is on the line of scrimmage. They believe that he's going to come on a blitz, but he doesn't. Look what he does. Here's a defensive end. He drops back. Look at the great hands and the great reaction.
Jamal, there was a play action. I'm watching the replay here. I think you're the back on the play. Do you remember that play?
Unfortunately, I do. Yeah, listen. You know what? I think here's the thing for me. Like, obviously, Hugh was a fantastic player. You look forward to playing against the best players, the guys who are going to bring it every game. I mean, he was like the Hulk out there. You know what I mean? Dude was like a little pit bull, you know? But it was like so explosive. And obviously, just the ability to move around the field. It always made it tough to play. I'm not going to act like I ran up numbers against the Eagles. It was always a hard game.
Man, listen. But you were like, listen. I tell you what, I remember my first year in Philly. We played y'all in 98, the year y'all went to the Super Bowl. Yeah. I was like, yeah, man, who is this cat? Boy, you had a monster game that day. Didn't score a lot of points, but boy, you toted that rock.
Remember, I think I broke Mike Mamula's neck in that game.
I think it was on the goal line when he was trying to, when you were scoring. Yeah, you were talking trash. Yeah, it
was like, oh, you too. I'm like, you ain't big enough to stop the bird.
Yeah, man, it was some good times, man. Some good times.
Jamal, that's fun stuff. And we appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us here. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk soon. Thank you, Jamal.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot,
fam. There he goes, Jamal Anderson. He did not forget your interception.
No, dude, listen, like, got a chance to, like, when I was living in Atlanta, got a chance to see him a lot of times, man. Good dude, man. He was a part of, I always want to say lingerie football, but it wasn't. It was fan-controlled football. He had one of the fan-controlled football teams, so I would go to that. It was a great time, man.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, T.O. played for one of the teams that he was in it. And, you know, he's just a good dude, man. Really, really good dude.
I was waiting for him to take the bait because as I watched the replay, so that you guys, you dropped back and Jim sent a blitz up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal blocked his guy. He had a really good block, but then it was still an interception. I mean, yeah. I was waiting for him to say he did his job on the play. Chris Chandler threw it right at you. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll come back to your phone calls here on the Eagles. Are you nervous about this game tonight without A.J. Brown? I'm not. I still think the Eagles are going to win. Hugh's got some trepidation here, and we'll get to the Phillies as well, including what JT Realmuto said about the number one seed and the WIP caller that everybody was thinking of on Saturday during the Cal-Stevenson game. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Everyone knows when Kyle goes yard, beers are on Kyle the next day. Yes, at bars all over the Philly area. Get a free Philly standard, the tailgate beer from Yards Brewing Company. Go to yardsbrewing.com to find participating bars, including Barnaby's Havertown with $5 Philly Center cans and $4 Yards Philly Pale Ales for happy hour or Sunset Social in Center City. Also, with $5 Philly Standard cans and Movie Night Wednesdays on their 60-foot screen. Yards Brewing Company, celebrating 30 years, made by Philly. Drink.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Responsibly.
And there he goes, and the pitch swung on, deep, right field. Forget about it. That one's not coming back. A two-run shot for Bryce Harper. His second of the afternoon, his 28th of the year, and the Phillies close the Mets' lead to one. It's 4-3.
Welcome back, Bryce Harper's power. Welcome back, everyone. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Hugh, what a weekend. We'll get back to all your Eagles calls in just a second as we get ready for Monday Night Football. But a good weekend for the Phillies. Hugh, it looked like it was going to be a bad one.
When it started.
Friday night, not good. Nola gets hit around. Three-run home runs all over the place by the Mets. And then the Mets go up big on Saturday afternoon. It's like, I guess it's going to be a little choppier than we want it to be. But the Phillies come back on Saturday. They win again yesterday late. And the Saturday, there's a lot of stories from this weekend. But Hugh, one of the big ones was two home runs on Saturday afternoon from Bryce Harper, his first home runs at all in over a month. Hugh, if that Bryce power is back, that feels like the missing piece to this thing for October.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Bryce knows more than we do about baseball, because you remember we were kind of concerned about him being a little banged up, and he basically wanted to just play through it. And it looks like he made the right decision by just playing through it.
Well, look, the power is a huge thing for the Phillies. He had a pair on Saturday. It helped them to the victory there. And then as the Phillies win this weekend, right, Hugh, so they get two games. They cut their magic number down. They're pushing towards the number one seed. They hold a two-game cushion now on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Plus, when you add the tiebreaker in, that's a three-game cushion on the Dodgers as we come down the stretch for the number one seed. JT Realmuto, he made it pretty clear what the Phillies want, what he wants. That's the number one seed here in the NL.
Yeah, that's really important for us. I mean, it's no secret we love playing here at the bank, and we feel like we have some of the best home field advantage in baseball just with what this crowd brings to us and how we play here. So the one seed is very important to us, and we're going to play as well as we can until we get it.
Well, Hugh, I agree with him. There's only one team in baseball that has 50 wins at home. You know who that is?
Phillies.
That's the Phillies. 52-26 at Citizens Bank Ballpark. Nobody else is even close. The next most wins at home for any team, the Dodgers at 48. I mean, those are the two teams that have the best home fields this year, and the Phillies right now are trying to grab it and get that number one seed. They're in Milwaukee tonight, but Hugh, the other big part of this weekend, of course, was the unsung heroes, right? You had Buddy Kennedy yesterday.
Buddy.
And on Saturday, well, we'll just call it, why don't we call it the Cal Stevenson game? Cal Stevenson, who we have heard a lot on WIP from at least one specific caller over the last month or so, he had himself a day. Kyle, we have some of these Cal Stevenson highlights from Saturday?
Well, I got his biggest one from the seventh inning.
Yeah, let's hear it. Seventh inning, Cal Stevenson doing what Cal Stevenson does, which is come up clutch.
Swung on, hit down the right field line, it's hit well, and it is going to one hop off the wall. Two runs are going to score. And Cal Stevenson will shut it down at second. He thought about third, but it's a two-out, two-run double for Cal Stevenson, and the Phillies take the lead. It's 5-4.
So Cal had a big hit during the week against the Rays. He has that big hit on Saturday. Then he makes an incredible catch to save a home run Saturday afternoon. And, Hugh, I think everyone that listens to WIP was thinking the same thing. Wait a second, is that the guy Joe in Northeast Philadelphia calls
in about?
Been
talking about him forever.
That's the guy, right, that Joe's been saying, call him up, put him in the lineup, Cal Stevenson could play. Well, on the line right now for his victory lap is Joe in the Northeast. Joe, what's up?
Hey, Joe, you, Kyle, how you doing?
We're doing great.
No, how you doing?
Your guy, Joe.
Well, I'm glad for the kid, and hopefully, he'll get a chance against at least right-handed pitching, and if he has a productive week this week, maybe you guys can get him on the show and talk to him.
Yeah, they don't really talk to us, do they?
We're trying for that, Joe, because this is becoming the story. You and Joe, you and Cal, it's the new Tommy and me in Philadelphia, Joe.
Well, it started, with, like I said, I had never seen the kid play, and I was only going by the numbers that I saw in his minor league career. And it was the third game, the afternoon game with the Yankees back here in Philly, that I had a poster board down. So I had a sign for Dombrowski. And it was a bad traffic day, so I had a sign that said, bring up Cal. And I had his stats down, 290 career minor league average, walks as many times as he strikes out. And at this time, I think he had 27 out of 32 steals. So I wasn't down early enough because of the traffic, so I never got to get behind the dugout, whatever. So I waited to the end of the game, and it was the kids run the bases. So the parents were, you know, walking by with their children, and they were looking up at the sign. You know, they have no idea who, you know, Cal Stevenson was. So that was on that Yankees series, you know. So my daughter's a big fan, and she has a Sunday game plan. So the next game we came back was against the Washington Nationals, and that was that controversial game where, you know, do we bring Harper and Realmuto up on the days that they're off, right? You know, so I had two signs at that time. One said, Cal, welcome to Philadelphia. Hopefully your plate approach will be contagious. And then my other sign was for Thompson. I said, hey, Rob, play Cal. And I told the thing about him, his bat against Sewald and against Arizona Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm.
Good at bat.
On the road, yeah. Yep. And, you know, and that's why, you know, some of the hosts, like, you know, Spike, you know, oh, 305, you want this kid in there? No. You know, I've watched a lot of sports through the years, you know, and I saw Al Sewald. That was that day we were up in Allentown to see the Iron Pigs because I wanted to see him.
Right, and they called him up a couple days before.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So we're in the car. We listen coming back. He's one of his at bats. He struck out, and Fransky said the pitch wasn't a strike. You know, strike three. So I got home time to see that at bat.
So Joe, I don't know if you know, do you know, I mean, your calls on Stevenson have resonated with the audience. Everyone was thinking about you. I'm not sure if you're on Twitter or your daughter is, but WIP posted the highlight of the Cal Stevenson catch on Saturday and about you and said, you know, Joe in Northeast Philly, like this is for you. Like everyone, you're the guy. Like when people see Cal Stevenson now, Joe, they think of you. Did you know that?
Well, you know, I think, you know, I don't need any kind of, notoriety or anything. You know, I have sleep apnea, you know, so I did hear, Dan Wilson the other night. He was, came on about, you know, have you, had something where you were right? And he started that. I appreciate that, but it's for the kid.
Well,
you
right, know? And it's for the team. You know? And it's for the team. It's for the
Don't
kid.
Don't be so humble, Joe.
Yeah, Joe, it's all right. This is your victory up here.
Rub it in people's faces.
Here's what we're gonna try to do, Joe. First of all, he has certainly worked his way into the mix to maybe make the postseason roster. This is gonna be a big week for him, Joe. We appreciate it. We're gonna do this again soon. But here's what I need. If this thing works out to the best possible degree, right? The Phillies win the World Series. Cal Stevenson is part of the postseason roster.
Mm-hmm.
I need Joe as part of the parade. Joe's on the float with Stevenson. He's part of this thing now.
Yeah, you asked for too much.
No,
Joe.
I'm not. I don't think I am.
You're doing too much.
I don't think I am.
I mean, I know you don't think you are, but that's why I'm here to tell you. That's a little extreme.
So
Joe,
you would be against Joe in the Northeast on the parade float with Cal?
No, I'm not against it. I just don't think it's going to happen because we don't know the right people.
We do, though.
Who?
The Phillies.
Okay, who do we know that could get him on the float?
John Middleton.
Okay, so we know John. We got his number.
Well, I don't know. You and I know him personally.
That's what I'm saying.
But we're the station partners, and we don't ask for much around here.
But you want Joe on the float?
I want to, with Cal Stevenson. Yeah.
I don't think that dog's going to hunt, Joe.
Hold on a second.
Why the hell not, man?
I hear you. Like, listen.
Well, last year there was all this noise about Jack Fritz being on the parade with Trey Turner if he got him to the World Series, right? Joe is the new Jack. Cal's the new Trey. I mean, we're doing this all over again.
You know what's bothersome about this whole conversation
that
we're having is I'm the voice of reason in all of this. I'm trying to be the voice of reason. That's not what I do. That's not the space that I'm comfortable with.
I could see where you're coming from with the game tonight.
AJ's
a great player. There's no reason not to give Joe his flowers.
I'm not comfortable with being the voice of reason in situations like this. Because y'all are tripping, both of
you. You're just raining on Joe in the Northeast Parade.
I am not. My job is to be fair and balanced. That's not going to happen.
Kyle, can you break the tie here? Does Joe belong on the parade with Cal?
Of course he does. Okay. Joe might even need to get a ring if they win the World Series.
Yeah, y'all.
If we're being completely honest about it. Cal just basically was the turning point of the season, or this weekend here against the Mets.
I know.
Things could have gone really bad.
And he had the big hit against Tampa.
Cal saved the season, man.
Unsung hero, Cal Stephenson.
Basically, Joe from the Northeast saved the season.
I like how both of y'all are so dead-ass serious about this.
Without question.
It's not good.
All right.
Also, I like how he called out Spike, too.
Yes, I mean, he did.
Yeah, that's pettiness that belongs on the
show. Yeah, that was on the sneak. All right, so how about we put up a poll. Does Joe in the Northeast deserve to be part of the parade with Cal Stephenson if the Phillies win the World Series?
Y'all crazy.
215-592-9494. Let's go back to your phone calls here. Obviously, it was a great moment for Cal Stephenson. There was an article this morning in the Inquirer that he thought about quitting baseball a year ago, like, because he just was toiling in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
It's a cool story.
Moment. Yeah.
And he might be part of the postseason team. If Austin Hayes can't get healthy before the playoffs, Cal Stephenson might be in October. Great weekend for the Phillies. Great story there. And, of course, the Eagles. Are you nervous without A.J. Brown tonight? Hugh Nervous Plant-Based Douglas over here is.
A little nervous.
I know. I can feel it. Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Calm down, though. Calm down. Sorry.
What's up, Will?
Will, wow. Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, we're in that space today. It's a lot. So it's a big day here. Will, you good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. That was my boss playing around with me, man. I'm sorry.
Boss got potty mouth.
Yeah, man. Jeez. Mm.
Yeah, I know, man. I apologize.
Oh no, you fine. You fine. It's just the boss got potty mouth.
Yeah. But listen, the only thing I'm a little afraid of, like, Kirk Cousins always give us a good battle. We can't sleep on Atlanta, man. That's one thing we can't do. We can't take any team in the NFL for granted. You know what I mean? I don't care how bad they playing or, you know, if they got a bad record, we just got to play everybody like they're a top-notch team so we can get this thing done. But like I was saying before, you know, I've been saying activate Goddard. Now you have to activate him. And I think Goddard going to have at least 9 to 10 catches for over 100 yards if they use him right. But I really want him to use him big time in the red zone, man. He's a big body, big target. You can't miss him. The other thing is with the Phillies, man, listen, we're not playing. We're not taking no more prisoners. I said it, man. We locked in, man. We locked and loaded. I'm loving what I'm seeing from these guys. We fighting to the end. And that's all I want from all our teams, man. The Eagles going to win, I say 38-28.
Well, Will, I'll take that. A 10-point victory. Will, appreciate it. I mean, Will's point is well taken. Hugh, you've made this point this morning that we can't take anyone for granted. And the NFL yesterday showed us that. So far this year, through 2 weeks, almost two full weeks, there's not been a single team favored by more than 6 points to actually win the game, or actually cover the game, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing teams all over the place either barely win when they're supposed to win by a lot, or they just lose outright. Like, it happened all day yesterday.
Yeah, and that's just the first month of the season, and that's why I woke up this morning. Like, I just don't come on here with these willy-nilly takes. I don't do that. That's not how I see it. I watched the games, and I watched a pattern, like somewhat of a pattern, where you're like, wow. You know, because going into that game with Tennessee, because that's the one I watched mostly, the Tennessee and the Jets, Will Levis initially didn't look bad. Tennessee's defense was playing well. They kept them in the game for the most part. Then you started to see a shift. That Dallas game was the one that, you know, it was a couple TVs on. But that Dallas game, they seemed like they were dead in the water when the game started. You know, so it's one of those things. And you talk about Sam Darnold, who a couple years ago was considered a joke as a quarterback, looks like his season has been resurrected. So what I'm saying is this, people. It's okay to look at it and say, okay, it might not go the way that you think it's going to go. I know we have weapons. I've been the biggest proponent. I've been on here every day beating the drum talking about how good this team is and how the offense looks and all this other stuff. There's a lot of good teams with good offensive players that lost yesterday. Who thought with what the Raiders had that the Baltimore Ravens were going to go in there and take the L that they took? You know, when you talk about the game that they had against the Kansas City Chiefs, who thought, well, you kind of thought that when the Cincinnati Bengals were going to play as well as they did because they came in with a whole lot of bravado, lost by 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, you know, I know people are in the feelings. You probably sauced up a little bit because you started tailgating earlier, listen to the show. Appreciate you listening.
As you should.
Yeah, as you should. But the bottom line is this. Never go into a situation overconfident. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Never be too overconfident that you cannot see where you know, it could potentially go bad for you.
Well, and AJ's a great player. We all recognize that. And it's significant he's going to be out tonight. But I do think everything else lines up for the Eagles. Extra rest, home field, the crowd, the Foles night, the fact that the Atlanta offensive line struggled last week, and Kirk Cousins right now does. I need to see Kirk be able to move before I'm worried about him again. And I have been more on over the last, what, he's been in the league 12 years now? I have respected Kirk more than a lot of people. People would look at him and laugh. I think Kirk's a good quarterback, and
Kirk has parlayed his whole existence.
Yep, a lot of money
into a substantial payday.
And if you look at it in his career, he's played well against the Eagles. Why I always like shake my head when everyone here laughs at Kirk Cousins. I'm like, you know, he's torched the Eagles a lot over the years, but this is the right time to face him.
No, it is. I give you that.
I think 2 months from now, he's going to be back to probably what he normally is, which is, you know, an above average productive quarterback. He's not there today.
No.
Last week, he couldn't move. And if he can't move, he's a sitting duck.
And that's the reason why we both know that, Joe. We see it as the same way. But I look at it more so like this. Okay, if I know he can't move, how am I helping Kirk Cousins out? Running game, quick passing game, like everything short and sweet. There, like even, as well as this defense played, there were moments where there were lapses in their coverage on the back end. You know, you had some guys out there that didn't look like, what was it, Vontae Maddox?
Yes.
He got a little bit of trouble. So I'm looking at it. You got first round draft picks all over the place on that Falcons offense. Kyle Pitts is considered one of the better tight ends in the game. You know, he can line up as a receiver if you want. Like, so there are things that are in their favor that they could potentially exploit, but it all is predicated on how much time you can give Kirk Cousins. That's the bottom line. That's how much time can you get his quarterback. You just said it. If they're not going to come in here and let somebody tee off on them the way that T.J. Watt did, they're not about to do that.
Well, no, they probably won't, but it's up to the Eagles' edge guys to get some pressure.
To get it done.
Because tonight's the night to get some sacks. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Carl in Willingboro. Hey, Carl.
Hey. I need to talk to you because I was mad for a minute, but I understand the radio game. I think you're doing that just to get callers a little bit riled up because you know yourself that they ain't got nothing for us. We got Saquon in the back. It's a good offensive line, so he's going to show off tonight just like he did last week. Also, how many touchdowns did A.J. Brown score last week?
One.
One?
Yeah.
So that's going to hurt us because we don't get one touchdown from him?
That was a big run, though, dog.
That was a big touchdown. Carl, before you continue, I just got to say, we do the same thing every morning. We have the big topic, and obviously today is pretty obvious. It's the Eagles game tonight. And I sit down, and Hugh sits down, and I say, Hugh, what do you think? And he tells me what he thinks.
Carl.
And we go to work.
Listen, but
he's wearing his plant-based shirt today.
Can I say this, Carl? Like, yes. with all due respect, I don't have to play radio. Like, totally honest.
No, it's not play radio. It's just to get the information because you said just a second ago, you're always on the Eagles side, no matter what.
No, Carl, I said
you flip roles.
No, Carl. I'm a diehard Eagles fan first and foremost. But at the same time, I have to be honest about what I see or what I'm thinking. So that's why when you say I'm playing radio, I'm not playing radio. I'm telling you how I feel. Joe asked me this morning, how did I feel with A.J. Brown being out? And I'm telling you how I feel. Now, it might not line up with the way that you feel, but as a former player and somebody that talks on the air every day, I can't sit here and just tell you what you want to hear. He asked me a question.
It's not what I want to hear.
I know it's not, Carl, but I respect you calling and listening to the show, but I can't lie to you. If I can't sit here and say, hey, it's going to be all right. A.J. Brown ain't playing.
Home opener.
No.
Lots open at 1:15.
No, I can't
Let's go, Carl. I can't do it.
When I call tomorrow, you, and say you were wrong, you're going to say, yeah, you were wrong.
Hey, Carl, like it was like a grown man should. If I'm wrong, right. I'm wrong.
I mean, the one thing, Carl. All right, Carl, we love you. I mean, the one thing you should know about the midday show by now is
accountability.
We're wrong all the time.
Hey, man, and we revel in our wrongness.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I mean, I'm wrong every day on this station. Terrence in Springfield, what's up, Terrence?
Dude, Joe, Kyle, what's up,
Terrence? I need some confidence from you. You ready?
I'm ready, man. I'm ready. I'm not worried about tonight, Joe. I'm not worried about tonight, but I agree with you on one thing. It's a spin on it. Like, Jalen Hurts has to prove Dallas wrong tonight. You don't have a star receiver. You know you got Saquon Barkley and Dawson. But, like Joe, you said the key thing, you got paid a lot of money, Jalen. We want to see you perform tonight. We don't want to see no turnovers. We want to see you guys come out and ball. Because if Jalen comes out and he stays up the joint, he's gonna hear it next week. We're gonna be talking about this. And we all saw yesterday. The first 4 or 5 weeks, it's unpredictable. We saw the Niners lose. We saw Detroit lose. We saw Dallas get stumped out. So you don't like right now. It's the NFL is wide open. It's more parity than it's ever been. So the reason it's more parity, we can't. Like I agree with you on this point. We cannot take Atlanta lightly because they do have weapons. But there's no reason that we cannot beat this team. If Pedro had these guys come out flying around the ball and balling out and getting to Kirk Cousins, we have a chance to win this game. It might not be easy, like you said, but we have a chance to get these guys because we know Kirk Cousins ain't good in prime time, and it's time for these guys to come shine and hunt.
No doubt, Terrence. Tonight is a night, and you're right. And I'm glad you said it. Jalen's got to earn his money tonight. Great quarterbacks should be able to win without one of their weapons. You got to figure it out.
Yeah. One more quick thing, man. We got to give my dog Hugh some props, man. Hugh balled out in fantasy yesterday. He had the highest score.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, he did.
He had the highest score. So yeah, he had a young son to catch balling. Neighbors, Harrison Jr. They was balling, man. Yeah. Kyle, I'm a little mad right now. Kyle got me. Dalton Schultz had to give me 5 points. He gave me diddly squat.
I think Terrence might have been the only team in the league I would have beat this week because I scored terribly.
It's what happens in fantasy.
AJ Brown was hurt, so I feel like if AJ Brown wasn't hurt, I would have got you, Kyle.
Well, hopefully the Eagles aren't making those excuses tonight. Terrence, good phone call, man. Yeah, about a huge victory lap today. His first good week in fantasy in 2 years.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, look at me.
look at me
now.
A lot of points, man. You save some for next week.
You know what? Guess what's going to happen next week?
Yeah, it's
going to be the
bottom of the league again.
It's going to be the polar opposite.
Yeah, probably.
So that's why I'm gonna take this victory lap.
It is funny that like the week of the NFL that everybody would admit is like the most like backwards one, like with all the underdogs winning, Hugh goes off in fantasy.
Yeah, goes off in fantasy.
That feels like it's not gonna last.
It's bizarro week.
Yeah.
It's Hugh Douglas week. Yeah, things will even back out.
And that's why I woke up this morning, I'm like, dude, something ain't right.
When you put on that plant-based t-shirt, we should have known. 215-592-9494. All right, open segment for your phone calls here. Side. Does A.J. Brown's injury make you nervous for tonight? Hugh's feeling those nerves. I'm not. Howard Eskin joins us at noon, and we'll get to the man who is being honored tonight. Yeah, let's talk some Nick Foles. 215-592-9494. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Foles. Moves to the right. It goes directly to Clement. Clement reverses it, and the pass goes into the end zone.
To Nick Foles.
It's a touchdown by Nick Foles.
A little razzle-dazzle by Duffins.
A little razzle-dazzle there. Philly special. Welcome back to the Midday Show.
Hey.
Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Tonight is Nick Foles' night at Lincoln Financial Field. He'll be honored for the first time since retiring and now coming back not in uniform for the first time. Hugh, tonight's going to be a fun night. Obviously, inside the stadium at halftime, the Foles celebration, but also with
it's
us.
It's going to be a party, man.
Pre-game show. Nick Foles slated to join us in the 7 o'clock hour from the Pepsi Plaza. We can't wait to have Nick on. And Hugh, that crowd tonight, when Nick Foles goes out there at halftime, is going to be wild.
Bananas. They're already lathered up. They're excited to see him, man. I saw some pictures. He's already here in town, hanging out at the NovaCare. It's going to be a good night tonight.
It's going to be awesome. And the fact that the Falcons are the team in, the team that started that playoff run against.
Yeah, the irony.
It is. It's going to be a great night for Nick Foles. We'll play some more Foles highlights as the night goes on. I'm excited to talk to him tonight. And obviously, you know, he's starting a new chapter of his life now in retirement. But what he thinks about this team. And I did see, I saw a photo yesterday. I guess Jalen and Nick met for the first time. Jalen Hurts and Nick Foles.
Yeah, they hung out.
Yeah, so a little passing of the torch there as Eagles quarterbacks. Nick Foles tonight will be with us on the pregame show.
I saw somebody Photoshop the picture with Foles holding his child. It's Tom Brady's face.
Oh, it's the best. Yeah. It is the best. I just every time we play a Foles highlight, it just makes me smile because that. I mean, I heard them talking about this morning on the morning show. Like, I don't think because we were just in it when it happened, the run and the championship. But you think back now, and I think Joe said it this morning. Could you imagine if it didn't happen? Like, Hugh, everyone here would still be waiting for a Super Bowl. It's like the ultimate just weight was lifted because of what he – I mean, I know it was a team. It wasn't just him. But, Hugh, the way he played specifically in the title game and the Super Bowl, it's just like you can't play any better in those two games.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's a fond memory, man, for me because it was the – we got a chance. Me and my son got a chance to come up here and go to the parade and just be a part of that. And I never forget that. It was a nice ride-up. As a matter of fact, I was coming up. And I got pulled over in Carolina by the cops. It was like about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, he was like, where you going so fast? I said, hey, I'm going to the Eagles parade. They won the Super Bowl. He said, slow down in Carolina. And that was big. And I, cause it was like, hey, I'm sorry, officer. I'm trying to get to the parade. And he's like, hey, just slow down.
Hey, there you go. It. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, he probably recognized the gravity. I mean, the Eagles just won the Super Bowl, and Nick Foles is the biggest part of it. Kyle, tonight, part of why tonight's going to be so cool to see the reaction is there have been a lot of nights where Eagles legends were honored. I mean, he went in the Eagles Hall of Fame. There's so many great players here. But there's never been, because there never could have been, a night to honor the Eagles Super Bowl MVP. There's only one of those guys.
And, like, also the fact that, like, Nick Foles is just such a lovable dude. Like, not only because he won the Super Bowl, I just feel like it'd be tough to ever find a fan that ever had a bad word to say about a guy like Nick Foles. Like, even when McNabb came back, there was like, I remember it was right around the time, did he say something about Carson Wentz? Or no, Chip Kelly, I think it might have been, right? Because that was 2013, yeah. And he came back. There was a little bit of mixed crowd reaction, even though, like, he was the best quarterback in Eagles history. Nick Foles is going to be just a roar.
No,
like,
it's just everybody's going to, yeah. Everybody's probably, it's probably going to be some people there crying,
yeah.
And thinking about that. That's a lot.
But it's going to be the Super Bowl.
No, I mean, I get it. It's going to be an emotional night.
Ton of Foles jerseys, I expect.
Definitely.
It's going to be great. Jersey. Well, the other thing about his career here is he played here for just enough to be a legend, but not enough that there's any real like, he didn't have many negative moments here. He still has the highest passer rating in Eagles history. I mean, like, he played, you only kind of remember the good with Nick Foles, and the not good kind of happened in other uniforms.
Well, it was one of those things where, like, you think about, and I wasn't here, but I could imagine after that playoff game against the Falcons, everybody was a little nervous. But after that, it didn't feel like that. It just felt like he was on a hell of a run.
Yeah, he was. Actually, I think people were more nervous before the game against Falcons because he finished strong. The second half was, it was very odd, that playoff run. As the games got tougher, the town's confidence, I thought, improved. I thought more people were nervous, Kyle, before the Falcons playoff game than the Super Bowl. Everyone said they're going to win the game. But like, the Falcons game was like, I don't know.
I think what it was after that, like, the Falcons game, not necessarily confidence in Nick Foles, but it was like, this team is still a force to be reckoned with. Like, we had the number one defense, and at home that year, too. Like, you couldn't, I think we might have let up, like, or allowed, like, 10 points a game at home that year. And it was like, nobody's going to come in here and put up points against this defense.
No, and I thought it was totally disrespectful. They were like, what, 4-point underdogs to the Falcons, yeah, the sixth seed at home? I thought that was crazy.
And the Vikings, too. The Vikings came in with like the number two defense. But after that, I think that, like, the Vikings game, that performance by Nick Foles is what made everyone think, like, we can beat the Patriots.
Absolutely. There's no question. Yeah, so the Falcons were 2.5-point road favorites here over the one seed. It was totally disrespectful.
You also made somebody on the station cry.
That meant everything to me. Let's go to the phones. 888. I'm sorry to cry. I'm just very emotional.
I mean, he wasn't the only one that day. The waterworks were flowing on every call.
I could imagine, but that was terrible.
Yeah, it didn't.
That meant everything to me. Let's go to the phones. 888. I'm sorry to cry. I'm just very emotional.
He was very emotional. Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
All right. Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. Almost News.
Morning, Bruce. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. Look. This is just cracking me up. In continuation of the plant-based conversation we had last week, I'm looking outside to see if the sky is falling, because usually the roles are reversed.
Well, you know what, Bruce? At least I have some confidence in the home team favored tonight. I got this guy next to me all nervous. Bruce, tell us why we should be confident.
Oh, well. Here's the thing. Here's the reason why. And look, before I get in, I just want to say something to you right quick. You know, I understand your concerns, right? But you know, if I was in Philly, I'm gonna come down to 94 WIP and park myself outside there, fire up my hibachi, you know, and cook and throw some lamb on the grill.
Some quality meats.
Yes, sir. You know, I'm marinated in balsamic vinegar and have my spices and my garlic and, you know, stuff like that, you know, to make you feel better today. But I can't do that. So you got to take the heat on this.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, brother.
All right. So here's the thing, my confidence in it, is that although we're missing AJ and somebody said something earlier. Joe, I think you said something about a statistic when AJ's out versus
Jalen's numbers, you know, he's excellent with AJ, and then without AJ, the playoff game last year and then before he got traded here, you know, it's not so good. Choppy.
Right. But here's the thing, though, and this is the reason why I'm confident that those were different teams. You didn't have the dynamic of Saquon Bart. And I'm going to tell you, Jahan Dotson, I'm going to tell you, we're going to see something tonight from him that I think is going to surprise a lot of people. And I think the other thing, too, with the OC, that's going to be another variable that's going to be involved, that's not going to make this a significant thing. Here's the way I see it, is that if they just stick to the running game a little bit more and they revert back to run more of the 12-player personnel package with the two tight ends.
Mm-hmm. Well, they could do that. Bruce, they could do that. And then the Dotson part, I mean, Dotson's a big part of this tonight. Bruce, we appreciate it, man. 215-592-9049. For more calls at tonight's game, are you feeling confident? Or a little bit of nerves with AJ out, like a certain Hugh Douglas over here. We'll get to our big takeaways from yesterday's NFL action, the 12 o'clock hour. But first, we'll go riding with the King. His thoughts on the game tonight. It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. We had a great NFL weekend, and you have another chance to start the season with a big return on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. You'll get started with $200 of bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet on tonight's game. All right, let's go with a big Saquon day. Maybe a touchdown for Saquon, over rushing yards for Bijan, and how about we go over receptions for Devontae Smith? Just visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more of the season. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 94 WIP. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Goes, and the pitch swung on deep. Right field. Forget about it. That one's not coming back. A two-run shot for Bryce Harper. His second of the afternoon, his 28th of the year, and the Phillies close the Mets' lead to 1. It's 4-3.
Welcome back, Bryce Harper's power. Welcome back, everyone. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Hugh, what a weekend. We'll get back to all your Eagles calls in just a second as we get ready for Monday Night Football. But a good weekend for the Phillies. And Hugh, it looked like it was going to be a bad one. So the way it started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Friday night, not good. Nola gets hit around. 3-run home runs all over the place by the Mets. And then the Mets go up big on Saturday afternoon. It's like, you know, I guess this is going to be a little choppier than we wanted it to be. But the Phillies come back on Saturday. They win again yesterday late. And the Saturday, I mean, there's a lot of stories from this weekend. But Hugh, one of the big ones was two home runs on Saturday afternoon from Bryce Harper, his first home runs at all in over a month. Hugh, if that Bryce power is back, that feels like the missing piece to this thing for October.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Bryce knows more than we do about baseball, because you remember we were kind of concerned about him being a little banged up, mm-hmm. and he basically wanted to just play through it. And it looks like he made the right decision by just playing through it.
Well, look, the power is a huge thing for the Phillies. He had a pair on Saturday. It helped them to the victory there. And then as the Phillies win this weekend, right, Hugh, so they get two games. They cut their magic number down. They're pushing towards the number one seed. They hold a two-game cushion now on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Plus, when you add the tiebreaker in, that's a three-game cushion on the Dodgers as we come down the stretch for the number one seed. JT Realmuto, he made it pretty clear what the Phillies want, what he wants. That's the number one seed here in the NL.
Yeah, that's really important for us. I mean, it's no secret. We love playing here at the bank, and we feel like we have some of the best home field advantage in baseball just with what this crowd brings to us and how we play here. So the one seed is very important to us, and we're going to play as well as we can until we get it.
Well, Hugh, I agree with him. There's only one team in baseball that has 50 wins at home. You know who that is?
Phillies.
That's the Phillies. 52-26 at Citizens Bank Ballpark. Nobody else is even close. The next most wins at home for any team, the Dodgers at 48. I mean, those are the two teams that have the best home fields this year, and the Phillies right now are trying to grab it and get that number one seed. They're in Milwaukee tonight. But, Hugh, the other big part of this weekend, of course, was the unsung heroes, right? You had Buddy Kennedy yesterday.
Buddy.
And on Saturday, well, we'll just call it, why don't we call it the Cal Stevenson game. Cal Stevenson, who we have heard a lot on WIP from at least one specific caller over the last month or so, he had himself a day. Kyle, we have some of these Cal Stevenson highlights from Saturday?
Well, I got his biggest one from the seventh inning.
Yeah, let's hear it. Seventh inning, Cal Stevenson doing what Cal Stevenson does, which is come up clutch.
Swung on. Hit down the right field line. It's hit well, and it is going to one hop off the wall. Two runs are going to score, and Cal Stevenson will shut it down at second. He thought about third, but it's a two out, two-run double for Cal Stevenson, and the Phillies take the lead. It's 5-4.
So Cal had a big hit during the week against the Rays. He has that big hit on Saturday. Then he makes an incredible catch to save a home run Saturday afternoon. And, Hugh, I think everyone that listens to WIP was thinking the same thing. Wait a second. Is that the guy Joe in Northeast Philadelphia calls
in about?
Been
talking about him forever.
That's the guy, right, that Joe's been saying, call him up, put him in the lineup. Cal Stevenson could play. Well, on the line right now for his victory lap is Joe in the Northeast. Joe, what's up?
Hey, Joe. You, Kyle, how you doing?
We're doing great.
No, how you doing?
Your guy, Joe.
Well, I'm glad for the kid, and hopefully, you know, he'll get a chance against at least right-handed pitching, and if he has a productive week this week, maybe you guys can get him on the show and talk to him.
We're trying for that, Joe, because okay. This is becoming the story. You and Cal, it's the new Tommy and me in Philadelphia, Joe.
Well, you know, it started, you know, with, like I said, I had never seen the kid play, and I was only going by the numbers that I saw in his minor league career. And it was the third game, the afternoon game with the Yankees back here in Philly, that I took a poster board down. So I had a sign for Dombrowski, and it was a bad traffic day. So I had a sign that said, you know, bring up Cal. And I had his stats down, you know, 290 career minor league average, walks as many times as he strikes out. And at this time, I think he had 27 out of 32 steals. So I wasn't down there early enough because of the traffic, so I never got to get behind the dugout, whatever. So I waited to the end of the game, and it was the kids run the bases. So the parents were, you know, walking by with their children, and they were looking up at the sign. You know, they have no idea who, you know, Cal Stevenson was. So that was on that Yankees series, you know. So my daughter's a big fan, and she has a Sunday game plan. So the next game we came back was against the Washington Nationals, and that was a controversial game where, you know, do we bring Harper and Realmuto up on the days that they're off, right? You know, so I had two signs at that time. One said, Cal, welcome to Philadelphia. Hopefully your plate approach will be contagious. And then my other sign was for Thompson. I said, hey, Rob, play Cal. And I told the thing about him, his bat against Sewald and against Arizona Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm.
Good at bat.
On the road, yeah. Yep. And, you know, and that's why, you know, some of the hosts, like, you know, Spike, you know, oh, 305, you want this kid in there? No. You know, I've watched a lot of sports through the years, you know, and I saw Al Sewald. That was that day we were up in Allentown to see the Iron Pigs because I wanted to see him.
Right, and they called him up a couple days before.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So we're in the car. We listen coming back. He's one of his at bats. He struck out, and Fransky said the pitch wasn't a strike. You know, strike three. So I got home time to see that at bat.
So Joe, I don't know if you know, do you know, I mean, your calls on Stevenson have resonated with the audience. Everyone was thinking about you. I'm not sure if you're on Twitter or your daughter is, but we posted WIP posted the highlight of the Cal Stevenson catch on Saturday and about you and said, you know, Joe in Northeast Philly, like this is for you. Like everyone, you're the guy. Like when people see Cal Stevenson now, Joe, they think of you. Did you know that?
Well, you know, I think, you know, I don't need any kind of, notoriety or anything. You know, I have sleep apnea, you know, so I did hear Dan Wilson the other night. He was, came on about, you know, have you had something where you were right? And he started that. I appreciate that. But it's for the kid.
Well, right. And it's for the team. You know? And it's for the team. It's for the kid.
Don't be so humble, Joe.
Yeah, Joe, it's all right. This is your victory up.
Here's what people's faces.
Here's what we're going to try to do. Joe, first of all, he has certainly worked his way into the mix to maybe make the postseason roster. This is going to be a big week for me. Joe, we appreciate it. We're going to do this again soon. But here's what I need. If this thing works out to the best possible degree, right? The Phillies win the World Series. Cal Stevenson is part of the postseason roster.
Mm-hmm.
I need Joe as part of the parade. Joe's on the float with Stevenson. He's part of this thing now.
Yeah, you asked for too much.
No,
Joe.
I'm not. I don't think I am.
You're doing too much.
I don't think I am.
I mean, I know you don't think you are, but that's why I'm here to tell you. That's a little extreme.
So you would be against Joe in the Northeast on the parade float with Cal?
No, I'm not against it. I just don't think it's going to happen because we don't know the right people.
We do, though.
Who?
The Phillies.
Okay, who do we know that could get him on the float?
John Middleton.
Okay, so we know John. We got his number.
Well, I don't know. You and I know him personally.
That's what I'm saying.
But we're the station partners, and we don't ask for much around here.
But you want Joe on the float?
I want with Cal Stevenson. Yeah.
I don't think that dog's going to hunt you.
Hold on a second.
Why the hell not, man?
I hear you. Like, listen.
Well, last year there was all this noise about Jack Fritz being on the parade with Trey Turner if he got him to the World Series, right? Joe is the new Jack. Cal's the new Trey. I mean, we're doing this all over again.
You know what's bothersome about this whole conversation
that
we're having is I'm the voice of reason in all of this. I'm trying to be the voice of reason. That's not what I do. That's
Hold
not the space that I'm comfortable in.
I could see where you're coming from with the game tonight.
AJ's
a great player. There's no reason not to give Joe his flowers.
I'm not
here.
Comfortable with being the voice of reason in situations like this. Because y'all tripping, both of
you're just raining on Joe in the Northeast Parade.
I am not. My job
he
is to be fair and balanced. That's not going to happen.
Kyle, can you break the tie here? Does Joe belong on the parade with Cal?
Of course he does. Okay. Joe might even need to get a ring if they win the World Series.
Yeah, y'all.
If we're being completely honest about it. Cal just basically was the turning point of the season of this weekend here against the Mets.
I know.
Things could have gone really bad.
And he had the big hit against Tampa.
Cal saved the season, man.
Unsung hero, Cal Stevenson.
Basically, Joe from the Northeast saved the season.
I like how both of y'all are so dead-ass serious about this.
Without question.
It's not good.
All right.
Also, I like how he called out Spike, too.
Yes, he did. Yeah,
that's pettiness that belongs on the show.
That was on the sneak.
All right, so how about we put up a poll. Does Joe in the Northeast deserve to be part of the parade with Cal Stevenson if the Phillies win the World Series?
Y'all crazy.
215-592-9494. Let's go back to your phone calls here. Obviously, it was a great moment for Cal Stevenson. There was an article this morning in the Inquirer that he thought about quitting baseball a year ago, like because he just was toiling in the minor leagues.
Yeah,
it's a cool story.
Moment. Yeah,
and he might be part of the postseason team if Austin Hayes can't get healthy before the playoffs. Cal Stevenson might be in October. Great weekend for the Phillies. Great story there, and of course the Eagles. Are you nervous without AJ Brown tonight? Hugh, nervous, plant-based Douglas over here is
a little nervous.
I know. I can feel it. Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Calm down, Dale. Calm down. Sorry.
What's up, Will?
Will, wow.
Give me the fucking truck. Give me that.
Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, we're in that space today. It's a lot. So it's a big day here. Will, you good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. That was my boss playing around with me, man. I'm sorry.
Boss got potty mouth.
Yeah, man. Jeez.
Mm. Yeah, I know, man. I apologize.
Oh, no, you fine. It's just the boss got potty mouth.
Yeah. But listen, the only thing I'm a little afraid of, like, Kirk Cousins always give us a good battle. We can't sleep on Atlanta, man. That's one thing we can't do. We can't take any team in the NFL for granted. You know what I mean? I don't care how bad they playing or, you know, if they got a bad record, we just got to play everybody like they're a top-notch team so we can get this thing done. But like I was saying before, you know, I've been saying activate Goddard. Now you have to activate him. And I think Goddard going to have at least 9 to 10 catches for over 100 yards if they use him right. But I really want him to use him big time in the red zone, man. He's a big body, big target. You can't miss him. The other thing is with the Phils, man, listen, we're not playing. We're not taking no more prisoners. I said it, man. We locked in, man. We locked and loaded. I'm loving what I'm seeing from these guys. We fighting to the end. And that's all I want from all our teams, man. The Eagles going to win, I say 38-28.
Well, Will, I'll take that. A 10-point victory. Will, appreciate it. I mean, Will's point is well taken. Hugh, you've made this point this morning that we can't take anyone for granted. And the NFL yesterday showed us that. So far this year, through 2 weeks, almost 2 full weeks, there's not been a single team favored by more than 6 points to actually win the game, or actually cover the game, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing teams all over the place either barely win when they're supposed to win by a lot, or they just lose outright. Like, it happened all day yesterday.
Yeah, and that's just the first month of the season, and that's why I woke up this morning. Like, I just don't come on here with these willy-nilly takes. I don't do that. That's not how I see it. I watched the games, and I watched a pattern, like somewhat of a pattern, where you're like, wow. You know, because going into that game with Tennessee, because that's the one I watched mostly, the Tennessee and the Jets, Will Levis initially didn't look bad. Tennessee's defense was playing well. They kept them in the game for the most part. Then you started to see a shift. That Dallas game was the one that, you know, it was a couple TVs on. But that Dallas game, they seemed like they were dead in the water when the game started. You know, so it's one of those things. And you talk about Sam Darnold, who a couple years ago was considered a joke as a quarterback, looks like his season has been resurrected. So what I'm saying is this, people. It's okay to look at it and say, okay, it might not go the way that you think it's going to go. I know we have weapons. I've been the biggest proponent. I've been on here every day beating the drum, talking about how good this team is and how the offense looks and all this other stuff. There's a lot of good teams with good offensive players that lost yesterday. Who thought with what the Raiders had that the Baltimore Ravens were going to go in there and take the L that they took? You know, when you talk about the game that they had against the Kansas City Chiefs, who thought, well, you kind of thought that when the Cincinnati Bengals were going to play as well as they did, because they came in with a whole lot of bravado, lost by 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, you know, I know people are in the feelings. You probably sauced up a little bit because you started tailgating earlier, listen to the show. Appreciate you listening.
As you should.
Yeah, as you should. But the bottom line is this. Never go into a situation overconfident. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Never be too overconfident that you cannot see where, you know, it could potentially go bad for you.
Well, and AJ's a great player. We all recognize that. And it's significant he's going to be out tonight. But I do think everything else lines up for the Eagles. Extra rest, home field, the crowd, the Foles night, the fact that the Atlanta offensive line struggled last week. And Kirk Cousins right now does. I need to see Kirk be able to move before I'm worried about him again. And Hugh, I have been more on over the last, what, he's been in the league 12 years now. I have respected Kirk more than a lot of people. People would look at him and laugh. I think Kirk's a good quarterback. And
Kirk has parlayed his whole existence
a lot of money.
Into a substantial payday.
And if you look at it in his career, he's played well against the Eagles. That's why I always like shake my head when everyone here laughs at Kirk Cousins. I'm like, you know, he's torched the Eagles a lot over the years. But this is the right time to face him.
No, it is. I give you that.
I think 2 months from now, he's going to be back to probably what he normally is, which is, you know, an above-average productive quarterback. He's not there today.
No.
Last week, he couldn't move. And if he can't move, he's a sitting duck.
And that's the reason why we both know that, Joe. We see it the same way. But I look at it more so like this. Okay, if I know he can't move, how am I helping Kirk Cousins out? Running game. Quick passing game. Like, everything short and sweet. Even as well as this defense played,
there were moments where there were lapses in their coverage on the back end. You know, you had some guys out there that didn't look like, what was it, Vontae Maddox?
Yes.
He got a little bit of trouble. So I'm looking at it. You got first-round draft picks all over the place on that Falcons offense. Kyle Pitts is considered one of the better tight ends in the game. You know, he can line up as a receiver if you want. Like, so there are things that are on their in their favor that they could potentially exploit, but it all is predicated on how much time you can give Kirk Cousins. That's the bottom line. That's how much time can you get his quarterback. You just said it. If they're not going to come in here and let somebody tee off on them the way that T.J. Watt did, they're not about to do that.
Well, no, they probably won't, but it's up to the Eagles' edge guys to get the pressure.
To get it done.
Because tonight's the night to get some sacks. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Carl in Willingboro. Hey, Carl.
Hey, I need to talk to you because I was mad for a minute, but I understand the radio game. I think you're doing that just to get callers a little bit riled up because you know yourself that they ain't got nothing for us. We got Saquon in the back. It's a good offensive line, so he's going to show off tonight just like he did last week. Also, how many touchdowns did A.J. Brown score last week?
One.
One?
Yeah.
So that's going to hurt us because we don't get one touchdown from him?
That was a big run, though, dog.
That was a big touchdown. Carl, before you continue, I just got to say, we do the same thing every morning. We have the big topic, and obviously today's pretty obvious. It's the Eagles game tonight. And I sit down, and Hugh sits down, and I say, Hugh, what do you think? And he tells me what he thinks.
Carl.
And we go to work.
Listen, but Carl.
He's wearing his plant-based shirt today.
Can I say this, Carl? Like, with all due respect, I don't have to play radio. Like, totally honest.
No, it's not play radio. It's just to get the information because you said just a second ago you're always on the Eagles side, no matter what.
No, Carl, I said
you flip roles.
No, Carl, I'm a diehard Eagles fan first and foremost. But at the same time, I have to be honest about what I see or what I'm thinking. So that's why when you say I'm playing radio, I'm not playing radio. I'm telling you how I feel. Joe asked me this morning, how did I feel with A.J. Brown being out, and I'm telling you how I feel now. It might not line up with the way that you feel, but as a former player and somebody that talks on the air every day, I can't sit here and just tell you what you want to hear. He asked me a question.
It's not what I want to hear.
I know it's not.
It's definitely not what I want to hear.
I know it's not, Carl, but I respect you calling and listening to the show, but I can't lie to you. If I can't sit here and say, hey, well, it's going to be all right. A.J. Brown ain't playing.
Home opener.
No.
Lots open at 1:15.
No, I can't
Let's go, Carl. I can't do it.
When I call tomorrow, you, and say you were wrong, you're going to say, yeah, you were wrong.
Hey, Carl, like it was like a grown man should. If I'm wrong, right. I'm wrong.
I mean, the one thing, Carl, we love you. I mean, the one thing you should know about the Midday Show by now is
accountability.
We're wrong all the time.
Hey, man, and we revel in our wrongness
sometimes.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm wrong every day on this station. Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Dude, Joe, Kyle, what's up?
Terrence, I need some confidence from you. You ready?
I'm ready, man. I'm ready. I'm not worried about tonight, Joe. I'm not worried about tonight. But I agree with you on one thing. It's a spin on it. Like, Jalen Hurts has to prove Dallas wrong tonight. You don't have a star receiver. You know you got Saquon Barkley and Dawson, but like Joe, you said the key thing. You got paid a lot of money, Jalen. We want to see you perform tonight. We don't want to see no turnovers. We want to see you guys come out and ball. Because if Jalen comes out and he stinks up the joint, He's gonna hear it next week. We're gonna be talking about this. And we all saw yesterday. The first 4 or 5 weeks. It's unpredictable. We saw the Niners lose. We saw Detroit lose. We saw Dallas get stumped out. So you don't like right now. It's the NFL is wide open. It's more parity than it's ever been. So the reason it's more parity, we can't like I agree with you on this point. We cannot take Atlanta lightly because they do have weapons, but there's no reason that we cannot beat this team. If Angel had these guys come out flying around the ball and balling out and getting to Kirk Cousins, we have a chance to win this game. It might not be easy, like Sue said, but we have a chance to get these guys because we know Kirk Cousins ain't good in prime time. and it's time for these guys to come shine and hunt.
No doubt, Terrence. Tonight is a night, and you're right. And I'm glad you said it. Jalen's got to earn his money tonight. Great quarterbacks should be able to win without one of their weapons. You got to figure it out.
Yeah. One more quick thing, man. We got to give my dog Hugh some props, man. Hugh balled out in fantasy yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, he did.
He had the highest score. So yeah, he had a young Thundercats balling. Neighbors, Harrison Jr. They was balling, man. Yeah. Kyle, I'm a little mad right now. Kyle got me. Dalton Schultz had to give me 5 points. He gave me diddly squat.
I think Terrence might have been the only team in the league I would have beat this week because I scored terribly.
It's what happens in fantasy.
AJ Brown was hurt, so I feel like if AJ Brown wasn't hurt, I would have got you, Kyle.
Well, hopefully the Eagles aren't making those excuses tonight. Terrence, good phone call, man. Yeah, how about a huge victory lap today? His first good week in fantasy in 2 years.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, look at me.
look at me
now.
A lot of points, man. You save some for next week.
You know what? Guess what's going to happen next week?
It's
going to be the
bottom of the league again.
It's going to be the polar opposite.
Yeah, probably.
So that's why I'm gonna take this victory lap.
It is funny that like the week of the NFL that everybody would admit is like the most like backwards one, like with all the underdogs winning, Hugh goes off in fantasy.
Yeah, goes off in fantasy.
That feels like it's not gonna last.
It's bizarro week.
Yeah.
It's Hugh Douglas week. Yeah, things will even back out.
And that's why I woke up this morning, I'm like, dude, something ain't right.
When you put on that plant-based t-shirt, we should have known. 215-592-9494. All right, open segment for your phone calls here. Side, does A.J. Brown's injury make you nervous for tonight? Hugh's feeling those nerves. I'm not. Howard Eskin joins us at noon, and we'll get to the man who is being honored tonight. Yeah, let's talk some Nick Foles. 215-592-9494. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Foles moves to the right. It goes directly to Clement. Clement reverses it, and the pass goes into the end zone.
To Nick
and
Foles.
It's a touchdown by Nick Foles.
A little razzle-dazzle by Douglas.
A little razzle-dazzle there. Philly special. Welcome back to the Midday Show.
Hey.
Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Tonight is Nick Foles' night at Lincoln Financial Field. He'll be honored for the first time since retiring and now coming back not in uniform for the first time. Hugh, tonight's going to be a fun night, obviously inside the stadium at halftime, the Foles celebration, but also with
it's
us.
Be a party, man.
Pre-game show, Nick Foles slated to join us in the 7 o'clock hour from the Pepsi Plaza. We can't wait to have Nick on. And Hugh, that crowd tonight, when Nick Foles goes out there at halftime, is going to be wild.
Bananas. They're already lathered up. They're excited to see him, man. I saw some pictures. He's already here in town, hanging out at the NovaCare. It's going to be a good night tonight.
It's going to be awesome. And the fact that the Falcons are the team that started that playoff run against.
Yeah, the irony.
It is. It's going to be a great night for Nick Foles. We'll play some more Foles highlights as the night goes on. I'm excited to talk to him tonight. And obviously, you know, he's starting a new chapter of his life now in retirement. But what he thinks about this team. And I did see, I saw a photo yesterday. I guess Jalen and Nick met for the first time. Jalen Hurts and Nick Foles.
Yeah, they hung out.
Yeah, so a little passing of the torch there as Eagles quarterbacks. Nick Foles tonight will be with us on the pregame show.
I saw somebody Photoshop the picture with Foles holding his child. It's Tom Brady's face.
Oh, it's the best. Yeah. It is the best. I just, every time we play a Foles highlight, it just makes me smile because that, I mean, I heard them talking about this morning on the morning show. Like, I don't think, because we were just in it when it happened, the run and the championship. But you think back now, I think Joe said it this morning. Could you imagine if it didn't happen? Like, Hugh, everyone here would still be waiting for a Super Bowl. It's like the ultimate just weight was lifted because of what he – I mean, I know it was a team. It wasn't just him. But, Hugh, the way he played specifically in the title game and the Super Bowl, it's just like you can't play any better in those two games.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's a fond memory, man, for me because it was we got a chance. Me and my son got a chance to come up here and go to the parade and just be a part of that. And I never forget that. It was a nice ride-up. As a matter of fact, I was coming up. And I got pulled over in Carolina by the cops. It was like about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, he was like, where you going so fast? I said, hey, I'm going to the Eagles parade. They won the Super Bowl. He said, slow down in Carolina. And that was big. And because I was like, hey, I'm sorry, officer. I'm trying to get to the parade. And he's like, hey, just slow down.
Hey, there you go. It. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, he probably recognized the gravity. I mean, the Eagles just won the Super Bowl, and Nick Foles is the biggest part of it. Kyle, tonight, part of why tonight's going to be so cool to see the reaction is there have been a lot of nights where Eagles legends were honored. I mean, he went in the Eagles Hall of Fame. There's so many great players here. But there's never been, because there never could have been, a night to honor the Eagles Super Bowl MVP. There's only one of those guys.
And, like, Also, the fact that, like, Nick Foles is just such a lovable dude. Like, not only because he won the Super Bowl, I just feel like it'd be tough to ever find a fan that ever had a bad word to say about a guy like Nick Foles. Like, even when McNabb came back, there was, like, I remember it was right around the time, did he say something about Carson Wentz? Or no, Chip Kelly, I think it might have been, right? Because that was 2013, yeah. And he came back. There was a little bit of mixed crowd reaction, even though, like, he was the best quarterback in Eagles history. Nick Foles is going to be just a roar.
No,
like,
it's just everybody's going to, yeah. Everybody's probably, there's probably going to be some people there crying, yeah. And thinking about that. That's a lot.
But
it's going to be Super Bowl.
No, I mean, I get it. It's going to be an emotional night.
Ton of Foles jerseys, I expect.
Definitely, it's
going to be great. Well, the other thing about his career here is he played here for just enough to be a legend, but not enough that there's any real like, he didn't have many negative moments here. He still has the highest passer rating in Eagles history. I mean, like, he played, you only kind of remember the good with Nick Foles, and the not good kind of happened in other uniforms.
Well, it was one of those things where, like, you think about, and I wasn't here, but I can imagine, after that playoff game against the Falcons, everybody was a little nervous. But after that, it didn't feel like that. It just felt like he was on a hell of a run.
Yeah, he was. Actually, I think people were more nervous before the game against the Falcons because he finished strong. The second half was, mm-hmm. It was very odd, that playoff run. As the games got tougher, the town's confidence, I thought, improved. I thought more people were nervous, Kyle, before the Falcons playoff game than the Super Bowl. Everyone said they're going to win the game. But like, the Falcons game was like, oh, I don't know.
I think what it was after that, like, the Falcons game, not necessarily confidence in Nick Foles, but it was like, this team is still a force to be reckoned with. Like, we had the number one defense, and at home that year, too. Like, you couldn't, I think we might have let up, like, or allowed, like, 10 points a game at home that year. And it was like, nobody's going to come in here and put up points against this defense.
No, and I thought it was totally disrespectful. They were like, what, 4-point underdogs to the Falcons, the sixth seed at home? I thought that was crazy.
And the Vikings, too. The Vikings came in with, like, the number two defense. But after that, I think that, like, the Vikings game, that performance by Nick Foles was what made everyone think, like, we can beat the Patriots.
Absolutely. There's no question. Yeah, so the Falcons were 2.5-point road favorites here over the one seed. It was totally disrespectful.
You also made somebody on the station cry.
That meant everything to me. Let's go to the phones. 888. I'm sorry to cry. I'm just very emotional.
I mean, he wasn't the only one that day. The waterworks were flowing on every call.
I can imagine, but that was terrible.
Yeah, it didn't.
That meant everything to me. Let's go to the phones. 888. I'm sorry to cry. I'm just very emotional.
He was very emotional. Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
All right. Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. Almost News.
Morning, Bruce.
On,
what's
How
up, buddy?
Hey, man. Look. This is just cracking me up. In continuation of the plant-based conversation we had last week, I'm looking outside to see if the sky is falling, because usually the roads are reversed.
Well, you know what, Bruce? At least I have some confidence in the home team favored tonight. I got this guy next to me all nervous. Bruce, tell us why we should be confident.
Well. Here's the thing. Here's the reason why. And look, before I get in, I just want to say something to you right quick. You know, I understand your concerns, right? But you know, if I was in Philly, I'm going to come down to 94 WIP and park myself outside there, fire up my hibachi, you know, and cook some, throw some lamb on the grill.
Some quality meats.
Yes, sir. You know, I'm marinated in balsamic vinegar and have my spices and my garlic and, you know, stuff like that, you know. To make you feel better today, but I can't do that. So you got to take the heat on this.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, brother.
All right. So here's the thing. My confidence in it is that although we're missing AJ and somebody said something earlier, Joe, I think you said something about a statistic when AJ is out versus.
Jalen's numbers, you know, he's excellent with AJ, and then without AJ, the playoff game last year, and then before he got traded here, you know, it's not so good. Choppy.
Right. But here's the thing, though, and this is the reason why I'm confident that those were different teams. You didn't have the dynamic of Saquon Bart, and I'm gonna tell you, Jahan Dotson. I'm gonna tell you, we're gonna see something tonight from him that I think is gonna surprise a lot of people. And I think the other thing, too, with the OC, that's going to be another variable that's going to be involved. That's not going to make this a significant thing. Here's the way I see it, is that
if they just stick to the running game a little bit more and they revert back to run more of the 12-player personnel package with the two tight ends.
Mm-hmm. Well, they could do that. Bruce, they could do that. And then the Dotson part. I mean, Dotson's a big part of this tonight. Bruce, we appreciate it, man. 215-592-9049. For more calls at tonight's game, are you feeling confident or are you a little bit of nerves with AJ out like a certain Hugh Douglas over here? We'll get to our big takeaways from yesterday's NFL action, the 12 o'clock hour. But first, we'll go riding with the King. His thoughts on the game tonight. It is the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. What a great NFL weekend. And you have another chance to start the season with a big return on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. You'll get started with $200 of bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet on tonight's game. All right, let's go with a big Saquon day. Maybe a touchdown for Saquon, over rushing yards for Bijan, and how about we go over receptions for Devontae Smith? Just visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more of the season. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 94WIP. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.